Shoftim Chof. Okay, it's an interesting interesting parsha. So the parsha basically says that the parsha says that well, let's first learn
like
Moshuach Muhammad. Okay, Moshuach Muhammad. Now it's an interesting thing. So the halacha is that you have to be memana a kohen Moshuach Muhammad in order to be medaber al ha'am. We'll come back to that. You know, what's the concept of Moshuach Muhammad? I mean, it's a strange halacha. It's not the kohen gadol. It's a separate kohen. That's Moshuach Muhammad. So what is the idea of Moshuach Muhammad? I mean, either it's you need somebody to give musar, so why don't you use the biggest Talmud Chacham to give musar? It would seem. Or if you need a kohen, so why don't you use the kohen gadol? But no, it's a separate institution of Moshuach Muhammad. He's a manui, a separate minui, for this purpose. What kind of an institution is Moshuach Muhammad in general? It's something I'd like to come back to explain a little later what it is. But in the details of what the Moshuach Muhammad says, so basically there are two messages he gives. I'm not going to go into there are two times that he gives it complications with the Rambam. I'm not going into the halacha complications. I mean, the Rav has a beautiful shir on that, by the way. But maybe we'll take it up. But right now I'm just interested in the and just in the parsha itself. Okay. So what does the Moshuach Muhammad say? So it's two messages he gives. One message is the first message. Is al yerach levavchem al tiru val tachbezu val tarzu mitneyam. So Rashi explains it's four different things. Okay, we'll come back to what these four different things are. But basically, the pasuk says, "Ker Hashem alekechem ha'olechim machem lilachem lachem emayvechem leshiaschem." So the pasuk tells the person not to be frightened, not to be afraid. Because he could be secure and sure that that if he goes to battle, and that no harm will befall him. So he should have courage, and he should realize the people should realize that they will definitely be successful, guaranteed. Rashi, Ker Hashem Alekechem. Okay, then it says, Rashi says. That supports something that we said, I believe last year on Tisha B'Av I gave a shiur on the Aron. That the Aron reflects the Hashgachas Hashem. That's why the Aron can't be captured, and that's why by the Meraglim, when they wanted to go by the Mapilim, they wanted to go up to the Har. So it says, "Aron Bris Hashem Moshe LeMoshul Mikar Machana." So the Aron reflects the Hashgacha, and that's why the Aron had to be buried in the catacombs, because it cannot be captured. The Aron cannot be captured. One time it was captured, but then it uncaptured itself. So here again, you see Machazem Machne Aron. Rashi says the Aron reflects the Hashgacha. So, but that's just mentioned as a side point. But the pasuk, the kain, basically the Moshuach Muhammad's message is that you have nothing to be afraid of, and you're definitely going to be successful. Now, the next message the kain has, the Moshuach Muhammad, is that he gives people a right to return if they have certain conditions. So four conditions: Bona bayis chodesh v'lo chanocho, yelech v'yoshev l'veso, nota kerem v'lo chilulo, yelech v'yoshev l'veso, eras isha, yelech v'yoshev l'veso, and then those three are three specific conditions that the person is chazer me'ochra mochama, and then the last one, the yosu ashtreitrim. Apparently, the Torah singles this one out. The Yosva Shrekim Ladaba La'am. Va'omru, Mio Isha Yorev, Aracha Levov, Yelech, Vyoshev Levesai. So here the Torah says gives a strange exemption. I mean, it would seem like a total contradiction. Because first it says, first the Moshe Chachamah says, Al Yerach Levavcha, Al Kiruv, Al Tachpazu, Al Tartum Etneim. Then suddenly you have this strange exemption, which is exactly what the Moshe Chachamah warned against, Migo Isha Yore Varacha Levav. And he just said before, Al Tiru, Al Tachpazu, Al Yerach Levavchem, Al Tiru, Al Tachpazu. So how could you have an exemption for the Isha Yorei V'racha Levav? It's a strange thing. Of course, you'll say that how could you have an army that if a person is frightened, he can't fight? Yeah, that's true. But it wouldn't warrant a halachic exemption. See, over here, it's in other words, of course, you're not going to take a person that can't stand up and fight, a person that's frightened, he has psychological problems, and he can't stand up. Fine. So, of course, then no general is going to allow such a person in his army. But over here, it's more than that. Basically, what the Torah is sanctioning, is giving him a halachic exemption, sanctioning the exemption. It's not a person that falls apart. So, okay, he can't fight. No one's you can't put him in the army. But that's something which is mitzad asechel. I mean, something which any person in charge of an army is going to know that. But over here, it's more than that because it's a genuine halachic exemption. Now, how could you have a genuine halachic exemption when the halacha just said before that the Mashiach Muhammad said exactly the opposite, that you shouldn't have any fear? So what does it mean? This person denies the truth of what the Mashiach Muhammad says. So you have two approaches to this. You see, Rashi says, Hayore v'racha levav. So Rashi says, Rabbi Kiva makamashma. That means literally, Sheinu yochol lamod b'kishrei hamochama, v'liros cherev shlufa. So what does Rabbi Akiva say? So, I mean, what's the answer? There's two answers here. One is Rabbi Akiva, and when one is Rabbi Yosef Aglieri. See, let's take Rabbi Yosef Aglieri first. Rabbi Yosef Aglieri Amar Hayore Me'avera Shabiyode. Rabbi Yosef Aglieri gives the answer, a direct answer. His answer is simply that that over here it's not talking. You see, this is what. Why does Rabbi Yosef Aglieri come along really and take the pasuk would seem? Because the pasuk doesn't say anything about it. Just the Yorev Racha Levav. The implication is he's weak hearted, he's faint hearted, he's not courageous, can't do battle. Rabbi Yosef Aglieri says, no, it's Yorev Me'avera Shabiyade. Why does Rabbi Yosef Aglieri interpret it that way? It's Yorev Me'avera Shabiyade. So the answer is he was troubled by this question that we're raising. The question is, the Mashiach Muhammad just warned against that. So how could you have a halachic, valid exemption against what the kind says the reality is? So therefore, he says no. He says he's really it's not a person that's frightened. Because frightened, if he has psychological problems, okay. So Aymas Rahman Apatra, you don't need an exemption for that. But a real exemption of halacha can't be. So he says Rabbi Yosef Aglieri says, no, the pshat is like this, that the guarantee that the pasuk gave before, Kirashem alakecha mahalishim machem lochem lochem in my vechem, leishiaschem, that's only a person who is not a balavera. A person is not a balavera, so he has the guarantee. But a person who is a balavera, and to him there's no guarantee. So therefore, since there's no guarantee for him, so that's why he keeps his chosen, Merucha Mochama. That's Rabbi Yosef Aglieri. Rabbi Yosef Aglieri basically answered this question. That the guarantee, he limited the guarantee. The guarantee is only for the person, Al Tiru, Al Yerach Levavchem, and Al Tiru. That's for a guy that's not a balavera. But a person has a serious averas. It means to say that he's meruchot me Hashem. So for him, there's no exemption. So what does he do? So he goes back. And that's Rabbi Yosef Aglieri's answer, basically. If you take a look at Rabbi Yosef Aglieri, that's fine. We understand. But further, the further on in Rashi, Rashi on Pasuk Ches, he says, L'kach to'otolo Torah lachza, al bayis v'kerem v'isha, l'chassos alachozrim, b'shvil avera shebiyadam, sh'li yavinu sh'im bali avera. V'oroi eyu chozer omar, shema bana bayis, anot v'kerem areres isha. Maybe he's one of the three above. That, I mean, is a strange thing. First of all, the Torah just took arbitrarily things which don't warrant exemptions just to cover up a person that only, according to that only has, that's a balavera. In other words, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, there's really only one exemption. The only exemption is averis. According to him, the parsha is very unified. The guarantee is there, but the guarantee is only there for the person that's not a balavera. Okay, the person that doesn't mean he has no averis. I mean, it means that he's at least a benini, tzaddik. But if he's really meruchak me'Hashem, he's a serious balavera. So then there's no guarantee, and that's the only exemption according to the Sefer. The other three are just a cover up. But the question is twofold. First of all, why did the Torah pick on these three? Why did Torah pick on these three, number one? And number two, why did Rabbi Yossi Aglili have to bother with the first three? Why didn't he say, simply, the first three are genuine exemptions, just like Rabbi Akiva says? The last one was the only problem, because the last one went against what the Moshiach Muhammad said initially. So he should have simply left the first three the way they are, and then there's a fourth one. But it's interesting. You see, basically, we changed over the whole parsha, basically. According to him, there's only one exemption, and the other three are just there because of that one exemption to cover up. So those are two problems we have to explain in Rabbi Segluli. Why those three? Why did Torah grab onto those three? And also, I mean, why didn't he leave it like Rabbi Akiva? There are three exemptions. What's wrong? Why did he have to argue with Rabbi Akiva on those first three? Okay. Let's go back to Rabbi Akiva for a moment. What was Rabbi Akiva also had the same problem? So what was Rabbi Akiva's answer? I mean, here the Kayim Mashiach Mohammed gave Musar, and he gave the best Musar. He says, Shema Yisrael, like Rashi says, Shema Yisrael, afilo in b'chem z'chus al kriya shema b'vad, kedai atem shi'eshi yechem. Even if you only have the z'chus of one mitzvah. Okay, so he gave him Musar, even the z'chus of one mitzvah. By the way, that pshat, Shema Yisrael, is a question of Yisrael Gulli, because Chayza Me'avera Shebiyado, I mean, it would seem that all he needs is Mitzvah Krishma. Okay, well, that's another good question. According to Yisrael Gulli, what does it do with Ma'amar Alem Shema Yisrael? Shema Yisrael, the Filayim Becham Tzvos El Krishma. So, who doesn't have the Tzvos of Krishma? I mean, it's speaking about a guy that doesn't learn Krishma. I mean, okay, you could say that, but it's a difficult pshat in Yisrael Gulli. But anyways, getting back to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says that according to Rabbi Akiva, so the Mashiach Muhammad gave the best Musar, and he says you have the schus of Kriya Shema, and therefore Yerach Levavchem. So the question is, I mean, what's the Yosef Hashoyt Yom Dabar Lom Meyersha Yorav Racha Leva? So apparently Rabbi Akiva held that the Torah makes allowances for a human being. That a human being, there's two parts to the person. There's a part of his nature that's under his control, and then every person has an unconscious part to his nature. There's a part to his nature, I mean, that's not under his conscious control, and he cannot do anything about it. Certainly not on the moment. I mean, maybe if he's chokev adoresh and he investigates the nature of his soul, he'll be able to correct it. But that's a process. I mean, that's a process that requires tremendous chokmah, and it takes a lot of time to do. It's not an easy process. The change in individuals is not an easy process. And I mean, even in the world, you see that the world is people really, most people would, if they could, change themselves. And they're not happy with their nature. Of course, they blame external things for their problems. But the problem always is in the person themselves. But in order to correct that kind of a problem, that requires a lot of chachma, a lot of drisha v'chakira, and something which cannot be done overnight. So over here, I mean, you have to go out to battle. You can't expect somebody to suddenly spend a few hours and just change his whole nature. So Rabbi Akiva apparently held that that's the exemption. Torah recognizes that a person has weaknesses, and there's two types of weaknesses. One type that's under his control, where Musar and the proper ideas will help and will work. As long as he keeps his mind on the true ideas, he'll be able to function. And it's under his control. Like the Rambam says. It's interesting. The Rambam has over here, the Rambam says, the Rambam really spells it out. The Rambam says in Perek Zayin Melchus Malachim, he says, now look at this book. And he has to simply control his mind, control his thoughts. Anyone that starts thinking and worrying in battle, umavilatzmo, and he scares himself, allows himself to be frightened, over below sasa. Shenema, al yerach levavchem, al tiru, al tachpiz, al tatsum of man. And he goes on, and he's a shofech domim, and he's oror, the Ram says. And then Ram says, on the contrary, so then he has the guarantee and the assurance that nothing will happen to him. Even lo bayis nacham b'Yisrael. Okay, so according to the Rambam, you see clearly that the Rambam, how the Rambam learned, that a person sometimes is instructed to control his thoughts, and if he doesn't control his thoughts, because he didn't do that, he's over the worst avera. So you have a maisa avera belave, completely belave. But at the same time, the Rambam recognizes that not everybody could do it. So the person that can't do it, it's impossible for him to do it, so he has an exemption. That's basically what we're saying how Rabbi Akiva learns. So Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Yosef Gvili because the Torah recognizes that an individual is weak, he doesn't have control of his whole makeup. There are unconscious forces that he has to grapple with, and he can't do it right now. So he's putter. So of course the question is, if that's the case, what was the chait of the Meraglim? The Meraglim were afraid. They were broken down. They were afraid. They even, you see how frightened they were, that they said that they were up against powerful fighters, and of course it was hand to hand combat. It's not. It's even more difficult than shooting with a gun. I mean, a distance target. This was hand-to-hand combat, and they were frightened. They were avodim. I mean, within a few years they were on the lowest echelons of the society, depressed, downtrodden, economically, socially, in every way. So they couldn't stand up. I mean, so why did they have such a terrible receive such a terrible onus and miso and 40 years and. And the whole, they're almost destroyed. I mean, if it wasn't for Moshe Rabbeinu, they'd be destroyed. So why is it? And over here, you see, the Torah is very kind. I mean, the Midas Arachamim. Can't do it, you can't do it. If you can, you have to do it. You have to control your thoughts, control your inner world. But if you can't control your inner world, so you're putter. So why was the Meraglim really chayav? I mean, the door, not the Maragmas, but the door, door Midbar. Why were they chayav? Yeah, so the answer apparently is that it would appear that if they would have said that Eina Chanami, we're just not able to do it, we can't summon up the courage and the strength to fight, we're weak, that would have been a different parsha. Would have been a different, what would have been, we don't know. How they would have, what the Hashgacha would demand from them, we don't know. But, I mean, it would be a different kind of a demand. Perhaps they would have had to go back and to work on themselves, to change, to correct the problem. But the problem over there was that they didn't do that. You see, they were dishonest. They tried to distort reality and blame reality on their problem. Eretz Ochelas Yoshveho, this is not a good move, this is not really the proper time, the proper land, things are not they blame the situation. They project it onto the land, mysterious forces, Ochelas Yoshveho, the air is no good, people are dying, all kinds of external distortions. That's why it's really, that's Motziyei Diba. Motziyei Diba means they distorted the situation. But apparently it would seem from the Psukim that had they been honest and faced their own problem, they would never have received such an Einish. Because you see here the Parsha and Torah, the exact same case. And you see the Torah says, according to Rabbi Akiva, Ram Hovidol, like Rabbi Akiva, Pshutika Mashmal, they were able to, a person is entitled to an exemption. You can't do it. Something a person can't do. But over there, the chait was the distortion. That was the chait. So at any rate, yeah. So according to Rabbi Akiva, the parsha goes pshuto kamashmal. Now it's interesting. If you take a look at the At the Musar of the Mashuach Mochama, so take a look at Rashi. It's on Pasuk Gimel. The Pasuk says, Al Yerach Levavchem, Al Tiru, Val Tachtazu, Val Tarzu, Mipneim. So Rashi says, interesting Rashi. Rashi says, I mean, this is in line with the idea of the Rambam. I mean, the Rambam says that the person has to control their thoughts. So Rashi really elaborates from Chazal, beautiful Chazal, exactly how the person is supposed to engage in controlling their thoughts. It seems the Mashiach Mochama really addressed the problem in a very specific psychological way, not just in a general way. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, Al Yerach Levavchem, why does it say four things? Didn't have to say four things. He could have just said, Al Tirum Mipneim. But no, there are four things. Al Yerach Levavchem, Al Tiru, Val Tachbazu, Val Tarzu Mipneim. Arba Azharis, Rashi says. Four warnings. Keneged Arba Dvarim. Shem Malchei Ha'umos Osim. Four things that the Malchei Ha'umos do. And keneged these four things, the Mashuach Mochama gave his Musa. Okay, what are the four things? He says, Magisim Besrisehem. Kidela Kishon Zeloze, Kidela Shmia Kol, Sheyachbazu Elu Shekenegdam. So the first thing they did was they would take the shields and clash the shields. So they clashed the shields together, so this was Mashmia Kol, so that their enemies should be frightened and should run. That's one. Two, Romsim Besusehim Umatilinosum Lashmia Kol Sha'atas Proso Suseyan. That the second thing they did was they would cause the horses to gallop and to neigh in order that the people should hear the sound of the hoofbeats. So in order to frighten them. That was the second thing. The third thing was Tzovchim Bekolom, that they shout with their voices. And the fourth thing was the token bishofaros, Umine Mashmiyako. And they blew the shofros and other instruments. They sounded other instruments as well. So these are the four things. So first of all, of course, you have to understand what the four things are. But the four things, it's an interesting thing. If you take a look at Rashi, the four things, if you go in order, what are they? The first thing is the clashing of the shields. That's number one. Two is the activating the horses to that the sounds of the hoofbeats should be heard. And three was shouting with their voices, and four was being tokeo with the shofaros. Now take a look at Rashi. If that's the case, so the four should follow consecutively. So Al Yerach Levavchem, the first one. So take a look at Rashi. Rashi says Mitzalo Susan. Rashi should have said no. May I crush us treason? And Al Tiru, the second one. There he says may I guff us treason. So he inverted the order. Val Tachpazu, Rashi says. So that's the third one. The third one is what is self from the colon. So there Rashi says Val Tachpazu. He says Nikola Kronos. That's again he reversed the order. That this should have been the Nikola Tzvacha. Nope. That Rashi says the third one. He says he reverses it. The third one is not the Kol HaTzvacha, but the third one is the Tkiyas HaShofros, Kol HaKronos. And then the Altatzu and the fourth one, then he goes back to Mikol HaTzvacha. So the question is, I mean, why didn't he just go the four straight in order? Yeah. So what you have to do, of course, is to understand what these four things are. Apparently, when the Mashiach Muhammad gave them Musar, so it wasn't just Musar, but what he did was he incorporated certain ideas in the Musar. And the first thing is the Agafas HaTrisim. Yeah, what is Agafas HaTrisim? What is Agafas HaTrisim? So the Agafas HaTrisim is the military might. Basically, what were they saying with Agafas HaTrisim? That we are militarily superior to you. We have much better war machinery. Our weaponry is superior. That's the Agafas HaTrisim. The second thing is Romsin Besusehen Matsilinosam Mashmiya Kol Sheotas Proso Susehen. So to make the sound of the hoofbeats heard. What is that? You see, the difference between the hoofbeats and between the Kol HaTrisim is that the Agafas HaTrisim is associated with an idea. It's associated with an idea with an idea that has a basis in reality. The idea that has a basis in reality is it's true that an army that, generally speaking, an army that has superior weaponry is going to win. I mean, throughout history, and most of the time, battles are won because the army has a superior might because of their weaponry. So that is a fear that's associated with a rational idea. That's the first one, that Agafas HaTrisim. The second one is simply an exhibition of power. The exhibition of power, of course, in those days was the horses, but this is still these things are true today as well. The expression of the demonstrating. The power, whether it's through horses or through jet bombers or whatever it is, but that demonstration is simply a demonstration of power. And the demonstration of power is something which strikes in the heart of the enemy, strikes fear in the heart of the enemy. It's simply because of the sense of power that's associated with the army. That's not the That's not associated to any idea. That's just a pure emotional affect that one army tries to impose on the other. And the third thing Rashi says is it's tzofchem b'kolam. Tzofchem b'kolam he has, and then tokim b'shofros. What's tzofchem b'kolam? The tzofchem b'kolam is a third dimension. The third dimension is the personal intimidation. That there's a certain fear that an individual has if he goes against a powerful fighter. The fear that he has is a fear of the personality, the fear of the individual. You see, by Goliath, you see that. By Goliath, you see, it was not just he walked up and back. That was a demonstration of power, and he shouted. He announced. The announcement was he announced that anyone to encounter him. So that's a personal kind of a fear of the personality. You see, that's the third dimension. Three dimensions, basically. One is associated with an idea, superior weaponry. The second one is simply an exhibition of power, which creates an emotional affect in the enemy, the other side. And the third thing is that there is always a certain intimidation on a personal level, a personal sense of superiority that the enemy wishes to convey, that they personally are superior. You see, v'gam yelidei ha'anok ra'inu sham. You see, yelidei ha'anok. There was a personal fear, a fear of the individual. That's a fear of the personality. So basically, it is. The Mashiach Mohammed, I mean, the Torah isolates three emotional forces that instill fear in the individual. And the last one, what is the last one? The last one is the token b'shofros, mina mashmiya kol. What is the shofar really? You see, the shofar, mitaka shofar ba'ir, va'om lo yecharadu. The shofar is the imminence. In other words, the blast of the shofar before they go to battle is it takes all three elements and weaves them into a moment of imminent destruction. That's the kol ha-shofar. Mitaka kol and mitaka shofar ba'ir. That's basically the idea really of shofar and Rosh Hashanah. But there it's tied to the individual's status in terms of his own perfection, the fear of the individual's state of his soul. You see, that's the that's really what Chazal say, the idea of the of the Keneged HaSatan. Yeah, what's the lesson? What's the lesson, Chazal? Laviv is a Satan. Laviv is a Satan. That's what it means. Laviv is a Satan means a sudden blast, which a person realizes now is the moment. You see, that's Laviv is a Satan. So in Melchama, and that's why the Nitaka Shofar beer is brought down with regard to the Kola Shofar, same pasuk, because that is it's a different kind of a, it hits the person in a different way. The first three things, yeah, the person can relax, think about it, but the Kola Shofar tells them you can't relax. Now it takes all these three elements and brings it to the fore. Now it's now. Then you have Harada, that brings on the Harada. So like the blast of the Shofar unifies them all together. You see, so the first Rashi really, see, the first Rashi gives you the order, but now take a look. See, that's the proper order, because the first thing is the rational, to try to use the rational, in terms of we have superior weaponry. The second thing is the emotional affect of the power, the sense of power of the army, and the third thing is the personal intimidation. We are superior to you. On a personal level, we'll defeat you because we're superior. You see, in the Second World War, they always had these radio broadcasts that they to try to intimidate the Allies. The intimidation was on a personal level as well. We're superior people. You can't stand up to us. The person is a powerful force. And that's what the, that's basically what the Rashi says, that's keneged abod varm shemalchei umos osam. Osam. So the, those are the three in order. And then of course the last is the blast of the shofar. That brings everything together. Now is the time, and then the person, the enemy is struck with fear, paralyzed. Now you'll take a look, you see Rashi fits in exactly with the four. Al yerach levavchem means a certain sense of a weakening of the soul, a rach alevav, a weakening of the spirit, that the person loses courage. It's an emotional weakening. So that's what Rashi says. What is that in response to? That's mitzala susan. When the person senses, feels the power of the enemy. So the tzala susan, the sense of power. So what does that result in? A rach alevav. It doesn't relate to any kind of an idea. It's simply an affect. An affect that the individual just loses courage and just feels like they're falling apart. They can't stand up. Al yerach levavchem. So that's what Rashi says, mitzahalo susan. That's the proper element to identify with the al yerach levavchem, the proper element of the four preceding. Then next is Altiru. You see, Yirah, fear, is associated, in rational fear, normal fear, is always associated with an idea. It's not just, I mean, of course, there's a person can just lose himself, but that's not what we're talking about here. Altiru means that there's a reason for the fear. So what is the fear is a relative. Fear is always fear of something. So the fear is of what? It's of the superior weaponry. So that's why Rashi identifies Altiru me'agafas atrisin, because the agafas atrisin represents the superior with the weaponry of the enemy. So that's where you have fear, because the fear is related to an idea, to a concept. You see. Then the next one is Altachpazu. What does Altachpazu mean? Altachpazu means, what does it mean when the chipazon? You see, what does Tirgum Uncle say? Va'altis bahason. Altis bahason means don't lose yourself. It says, what the Pasuk says in the parasha before, in Re'eh, what does the Pasuk say? Pasuk says, Lo sochal lof chameitz in Tazayin, Advan Tazayin Pasuk Gimel. Lo sochal lof chameitz shivas yomim tochal lof matos lechamani. Why? Ki v'chipozon yatzos amaretz Mitzrayim. V'chipozon. What does b'chipozon mean? The Rambam says, b'behilu yatzanam Mitzrayim. What does it mean? What does b'behilu mean? The Unkelus says also, over there, he says, Are b'behilu nefakta me'adam Mitzrayim. What is b'behilu? Over here, altavason. Behola. Behola means total confusion. Behola means where the person is completely, has lost his orientation with reality. That's really chipozon. That's what chipozon is. Altachpazu means don't lose your connection to reality. Don't withdraw into your mind and become totally lost in your own world of fear and confusion. That's what Bahola means. So that's where Rashi identifies the Altachpazu, he identifies with the Kol HaKronos. But that's really, as we said before, the Kol HaKronos takes all three elements and makes the whole thing imminent now. It's now, the Kol HaShofar. Destruction is imminent. And the person, if he gives in to that, if he responds to that, so then he loses himself and he finds himself in a state of bala. It's an interesting thing. So what is the idea? It also reflects on the idea of kibbuch chipazon yatzos amaretz Yisrael. Laman tizkar yom teitzchol amaretz Yisrael kol yimei chayecha. So what does it mean, kibbuch chipazon yatzos amaretz Yisrael? It means to say that if you would have gone out of, when you went out of Mitzrayim, you left Mitzrayim in total confusion. It means you didn't have any control of your exodus from Mitzrayim. You were totally confused because it happened so quickly. So why was that? That was in order that Klal Yisrael should recognize that they had nothing to do with the going out. They weren't gavras in Yetzias Mitzrayim. They were chatzos. They were objects. They were confused, and they were unable, disoriented. So the Yetzias Mitzrayim was only Al Yedei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It cannot be attributed to them because their mental state was confused. The Behilu Yetzayim Mitzrayim. So Leman Tiskas Yom Teitzcha Meretz Yisrael Kol Yemei Chayecha. It means that you'll always remember Yetzias Mitzrayim as Ki Yedei Shem Otzion Meretz Mitzrayim. That's the true zikaron of Yetzias Mitzrayim. True zikaron of Yetzias Mitzrayim is not simply that we went out, but the idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim is that we were nothing in the process. We were totally confused. It was something that happened so instantaneously. The event happened very quickly, and we were totally disoriented. So Yetzias Mitzrayim can be attributed only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Laman tiskas yom teitzcha meretz Yisrael kol yemei chayecha. You should remember the day that you went out of Mitzrayim, and not only the day, but how you went out of Mitzrayim. Ki b'chipasin yetzos meretz Mitzrayim. It's machlek is really in how you read the pasuk over there, but the idea is the same. Question is whether it means you will, whether ki b'chipasin yetzos meretz Mitzrayim means that the question, in other words, the pasuk is l'sochel of chametz rishon l'sochel of matzahs lechamoni, and then you could learn the pasuk. Most learn the pasuk like this. Lo sochel of chametz shivashem tochel of matzahs lechamoni, and then kama ki v'chipasen yatzasa meretz Yisrael. It just is telling you the fact that you must know that you must know how you went out of Mitzrayim. In other words, that the gula was only al yedei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then leman tiskos yom teitzcha meretz Yisrael kol yemei chayecha. They learn goes back on lo sochel of chametz. You see that the reason is that you should always remember that. The reason for Leisachal of Chametz, Shivas Yom Techal of Matzis, is Leman Tiskas Yom Teshcha Meretz Yisrael, Kol Yimei Chayecha. Why? Ki v'chipazin yatzos Meretz Yisrael. Because he went out through chipazin, and this remembering will always bring you back to the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only goel. So that's the way many learn. But Yonasan Ben Azir learns the more like the plain shot. He says, Arum b'zehilu nefakta me'ad ha-Mitzrayim min b'glal d'sitrin yas yom mafkechon me'ad ha-Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecha. The chipazon, the nature of the going out, was one which you can't forget because it was so strange, because you didn't participate at all. You were simply just objects. And that's why it's an event that will always remain in the historical memory of the people. You see. But either way, it doesn't matter. Either way, the chipazon, the idea of chipazon, is something that we must always recall, because it's not simply Yetzias Mitzrayim, not simply that we went out, but that we went out only through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Gol Yisrael. And that's Baruch Hashem Gol Yisrael, is Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we didn't participate, even mentally, we were totally defeated, we were totally confused. That's the same. That's al tiruv al tachpizu. That's al tachpizu. Of course, that state of mind, which we use to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, a state of confusion, is the state. Of course, over here in battle, that's the state that the enemy attempts to instill on Kal Yisrael, to bring them to a state of dahola, confusion, where you lose contact with reality and you lose your orientation. You see, so Rashi very correctly, Rashi says, Al Tachpazu, what causes the loss of orientation? He says, Mikol HaKronos. Yeah. The Al Tartu, what's the Al Tartu? The Al Tartu means you shouldn't be broken down. So there again, Rashi says, identifies the element which is appropriate for Al Tartu, and that's Mikol HaTzvacha. Because the Tzvacha is the shouting of the enemy. The shouting means the intimidation. The vocal shouting it could be a vocal shouting or it could be a vocal message, but it's the process of intimidation through the personality of the enemy. That is that third dimension that Rashi isolated before. But over here, you see how carefully Rashi identifies each one to its appropriate place. to its appropriate warning, to the appropriate element of Musar. Al Yerach Levavchem, Al Tiru, Al Tachbazu, Al Tatsim, Mivneim. So that's where Rashi had to change the order. Of course, there's one question that you're probably wondering about. And the question is, if that's the case, I mean, why does the Mashuch Mochama change the order? Yeah, we understand Rashi's correct that Al Yerach Levavchem doesn't go in order. The order was the logical order. First, the weaponry, then the sense of power, then the personal intimidation, and then the imminence. But why didn't the Mashuch Mochama follow that same order? Rashi's right. It doesn't follow. He just tells you which one is for the four above, which one relates to the four above. But he doesn't explain to you why the Mashuch Mochama actually changed the order. So there I think the answer is, maybe somebody want to try to give an answer? Yeah, there I think the answer is that the Mashuach Mohammed's purpose is to be successful in removing these emotional fears, the state of fear from the enemy, from Klal Yisrael. So in doing that, he has to use a didactic order. In other words, there's a logical order, and then there's a didactic, there's a teaching order. Those two orders are not really identical. I mean, for instance, when you learn a Gemara, so the Gemara is in the proper order. But a person that's a student, that's learning, for him, the order is not necessarily proper. I mean, if he knows Shas and he's on the level of a Abaye and Rava, so then it'll be the right order. But a Abaye and Rava were on a very high level. So the didactic order is not really the order of the Shas. I mean, that's a lot of people, especially you see people that are curious about Torah, so they pick up a Gemara and they try to learn it. But they really haven't got a chance to understand what the Gemara is about, for the simple reason that they make a tacit assumption, and that is that the order of the Gemara is also the... Okay, so the Rebbe has to take the material, which is in a logical order, and then if he's a good Rebbe, so what he does is, he doesn't go by that order, but he presents it in an order for the receiver. The order based on the individual that wants to learn. It's a completely different order. In order to learn Yishlam B'das, I mean, he's going to have to make recourse to various basic principles of bylaws and ideas of ownership in order to show what the role of Yish is, where does Yish fit in. So the order has to be based upon the individual that's learning. That's a didactic order. That's not the real order of things. The same thing is true also in investigation as well. That's something that Aristotle mentioned, that the order of investigation doesn't follow the order of the subject matter. Once you have done your investigation, then you take all the material and you present it according to the logical order that the subject matter demands. But in the process of investigation, you can't do that because you don't, at the time of your first time to investigate, you don't know the material. So it's a different kind of order. Investigative order is different than the order of the subject matter itself. And that's very, very much the same with regard to the didactic order. So you see over here, the Mashuach Mochama has to switch the order. Why? Because if he followed the logical order, he'd never achieve his goal. For instance, if he reversed the first two, if he said Altiru, so Altiru is associated with a logical idea, military might, military weaponry, superior weaponry, is a logical phenomenon, and that's why wars are won most of the time, because of the superior weaponry. So if he would have said that first, so then that would cause the people to associate some kind of reality to the fear, and then Al Yerach Levavchem wouldn't work, because on the contrary, no, there's reason to be broken down, because there's a real logical reason to be afraid, you see. And the same thing with the And the same thing with the last two. Al-Tachbizu v'al-Tarzu. If we'd have Al-Tarzu first, so we'd say, don't be afraid of them on a personal level. Don't allow the fear of the personality to affect you. So then, afterwards you say Al-Tachbizu, it wouldn't be effective. Because the person, you'll think into the personality, say, I'm afraid of personality. Al-Tachbizu, no, it'll fall apart. We'll lose equilibrium. You see. So the Mashiach Mochama switched around the order. Al-Yerach Levavchem. The Tzalas Asusim and the kol aprosos, that is a pure emotion. So he says, al yerach levavchem, don't give in to that emotional weakness, that response, the response of fear, which is based on nothing. Once he pointed out to the people that you see that what you're up against is simply an emotional state, which has no basis in reality. It's just a response. If you let yourself fall into it, it's just an emotional response, and there's no reality to that. And that's one of the things, you see, that's something the enemy uses. You're not going to fall for that. Then, he says, Altiro. Then, just like that is nothing, so the expression of military might is also not based on reality, even though there's a little reality to it. But it's not based on reality in your situation, because so that's also not reality. But first he had to take the element which is complete unreality, so that the people should be strong, should be strengthened, and realize that they're not going to just give in to their emotions. And then he showed the element which has a little bit of reality, don't give in, because it's also not real. It only partakes of reality universally. There is some reality to it. But in your case, it's nothing. Just like Al-Yerach Levavchem is nothing, over here it's nothing also. Because Haim Ban Ben Itzchana Shal Basa Badam, Vatem Ban Ben Itzchana Shal Markom. And the same thing with the last two. The last two is Al-Tachbizu. Al-Tachbizu means don't lose your contact with reality. Don't lose your equilibrium. Everybody understands that doesn't make any sense. A person is just going to a state of Bahola. It never makes any sense. So everyone, the Kol HaKronos is simply an instrument of war, which is just pure emotion. It's just to make you lose contact with reality, to lose your equilibrium, and then you're defeated. Don't give in to that. And once you realize that that's just a ploy and there's no reality there too, then Al-Tatsu. Then the personality of the enemy shouldn't play any role also, because that also is nothing. That also has no reality. That's also just a mere illusion. So you see how the Torah formulated the order, the didactic order. It took the elements, isolated the elements, showed what each one is, how each one works, and then when the Mashiach Mochama gave the Musa to the people, it wasn't just Musa. It's like it says in Mishle, Ladas Chachma Musa. That the Musa was given with great Chachma, because it was given in a way that it addressed the problem to achieve the goal through teaching the individual how to stay in contact with reality and the ultimate reality, which is Ashgachas Hashem, the guarantee that you are different. You're not going with any of these things. These things are the Umos Olam news. You have a very special weapon. Your weapon is a different weapon. It's that type of a weapon cannot be overcome. That's the real weapon of reality. So once your mind is in total reality, all these things are mere illusions. That's the way that was the Musa of the Mashiach Mochama. But now, Let's get back to the let me just see, just give me a second now. What I wanted to take up next was the idea of Mashiach Mochama. You see, this fits in very well with the whole idea of what is Mashiach Mochama. It's a strange kind of a phenomenon. I haven't really seen anybody that discusses it directly. I mean, it must be something. I just didn't have a chance to look around. I didn't notice anybody that addresses the issue directly. What exactly is the idea of Mashiach Muhammad? But I believe it goes back to a shiur that I gave, the shiur I gave this past Tisha B'Av. And that was the idea of what is a Kohen? What is a Kohen? What's the role of a Kohen? What's the role of Kohenah? And that was really Kerach's whole argument. His argument was that Kohenah has no place in Klal Yisrael. Kohenah doesn't make any sense. It's not fair. We have Talmidei Chachamim, and you go according to Chachma, person of Talmud Chacham. But this great Talmud Chacham can't go into the Mikdash, Hazor Karv Yumos, he can't do Avodah. And this Kohen Amaretz, just because he's a Kohen, he has a right to go Lefnai V'Lefnim on Avodah Shem HaKippurim, to become a Kohen Gadol. Karev's argument was, doesn't make any sense. Yeah, but what was Moshe Rabbeinu's answer? Moshe Rabbeinu's answer was, V'hoyo isha sheyivchar Hashem hu HaKadosh. Not V'hoyo HaKadosh yivchar Hashem. Because the truth of the matter is that no individual really, no human being can give service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole idea is nonsensical, and no one is fit to do it. And even if they were fit to do it, it doesn't make any sense altogether. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need anybody's services. As a matter of fact, you see, an interesting thing was by Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu went, after he received the tzivui, to go down to Mitzrayim. So on the road, the Torah tells us a strange story. Vayhi baderach b'malon, vayifkashei l'Hashem, vayivakish hamisa. The pasuk says that he was on the road to go back to Mitzrayim, to the most of the Eretz Mitzrayim, to do a shlichus, accomplish a shlichus. But vayhi baderach b'malon, he's on the road, and suddenly vayifkashei l'Hashem, vayivakish hamisa. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to kill him. I mean, some say it doesn't mean Moshe Rabbeinu, but the plain shot is Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to kill Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? What does that show you? That shows you one thing, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need anybody. So even Moshe Rabbeinu, he doesn't need him. And if he's Chayav Misa, Baderach Mamalayim, Vayif Tishay Hashem, Vakash Misa, there wouldn't be any Moshe Rabbeinu. That'll be it. What would have happened? Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need anybody, not even Moshe Rabbeinu. That's really what the Torah is teaching in that parasha. So the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only reason why we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because Tzivui Hashem, V'hoya sheyivchar Hashem hu HaKadosh. Who is the one that can serve God? The one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're the one. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose him, that's why he's entitled. There's no other reason. Nothing. Simply because he's the Bechir Hashem. So over here as well, very interesting, that the Torah did not take the Reish Sanhedrin, the Nasi. The Nasi, why did the Nasi go out and give Musa? The answer is because really there are two institutions in Klal Yisrael. The what does Ram say? B'sholosh kesorim nechter Yisrael. There's Kesa Torah, Kesa Kohuna, and Kesa Malchus. Let's leave Kesa Malchus out for momentarily. But you see that there are two ksorim. One is a kesa kahuna, and the other one is a kesa tara. Two different vehicles of reaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and both are necessary. One without the other is very dangerous and could lead a person astray. So the kesa tara, the Talmud Chacham, the Nasi, has a very special role. But the Nasi's role is limited, and if it's not enhanced, not complemented by the role of the Kohen, so then it's a dangerous phenomenon. It's lacking. You see, it's lacking. Because if the Nasi would give Musar, so then the people would think the Musar is from the Nasi. And it would be attached to the personality of the Nasi. But that's not what Yadus wants. Real Musar only comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kohen is the one that's V'hoya Isha Sheyivchar Hashem Hu HaKadosh. He is Kadosh. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose him. So he's Mashuach. That's the whole idea of being Mekayim Mashuach. Mashuach means anointed. B'Shem HaMishchan means to say that he was to demonstrate that he was chosen. He's the one who was chosen. It's Mekayim Mashuach. And over here is Mashuach Mochama. So it's interesting. The Torah did not use the Mashuach of the Kayin Gadol of Avoda. That's a separate parsha. But the Mashuach Mochama means that he was Mashuach for this purpose in specific, to give Divrei Musar. That this Musar is Mipi Agvur. And who reflected Mipi Agvur, not Mipi Basav Adam? Not the Nasi, because the Nasi is still a Basav Adam. But here you need a person that is, his essence is simply that he was Nivcha. He was the HaKadosh Baruch Hu chosen to do it. So this is direct Mipi Agvur. You see, the mistake that led to the ego was because the reliance and the dependency on the greatest Navi, and on the Adon HaNeviim. Because Kizerish Moshe Shotzen HaZem Le'adana Mahayola. So the relationship was tied to the personality of Moshe Rabbeinu. It was no good. That's no good. That led to that led to Avodah Zorah, to the Egel Azor. So that's why in Yahadus you have those two complementary institutions. Of course, the Kohen himself, just to have Kohuna, that the Kohen is the Bechir Hashem, that's very nice. But without Torah, without Talmud Torah, without Chochmas Hashem, it's nothing. It falls apart. It's nothing. It has no existence. Just to say, yes, Bechir Hashem, very nice. But what's the root to our Kadosh Baruch? What's the root? The root is only Chochmas Hashem. Avas Hashem. All sides of Chochmas Hashem. How do we get Chochmas Hashem? That's through the Keset Torah. So really, the Keset Torah by itself is not enough, because there you're still tied to an individual, a human being, as great as he is, even if he's Adon HaNeviim, it's still a human being. On the other hand, the Isha Sheyivchar Hashem, that also you can't have. Just to have Yivchar Hashem, but without Torah, also it falls apart. It's a waste of time, because Yivchar Hashem, but how does he know Hashem? Where is his Yedias Hashem? Yedias Hashem is only through the vehicle of Keset Torah, through the Talmud Chacham. So you see over here how the Torah singled out when it came to Divrei Musar, and Divrei Musar that was necessary at the moment to give Musar, that the individual should know what he's up against, the most difficult thing, to do an act of Bechira within himself, which is the most difficult kind of Bechira. To do an act of Bechira, whether you should be not Lulav or not not Lulav, is an easy Maisa Bechira. Shmir Shabbos and not Shmir Shabbos is an easy Maisa Bechira. But to change your inner nature is very, very difficult Maisa Bechira. So it had to be through the Mashuach Mochama, because it had to be through the Yisha Sheyivchar Hashem, the Mashuach, that this is directly, this Musa is directly Mipi Agvor. Yeah. So that explains the and of course, I mean, the Musa Mipi Agvor was to teach the idea Kedoshem Alekecha Maharosh Emachem Elochem Echem Emavech Mashiachem is really to teach the individual his complete reliance and the fact that his destiny is only determined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and nothing else. For that, you have to have Mashuach Mochama. It must be direct. It must be Yisha Sheyivchar Hashem. Now, what I wanted to... just give me 1 second. Yes. While I'm here, let me just... it's Vom Aleim Shema Yisrael. So Rashi says, Afilu, it's Chazal, of course, Afilu Ein Bachem Zuchus Ela Kriya Shema Bovad, Kidayatem Sheyeshiyashem. Yeah, so I mean, you know, I saw different Mepharshim. Some Mepharshim say, what do you mean only? That's not a small thing. Kriya Shema is not a small thing. Then, of course, you have the other Kashi. Krishma, is he ate the Krishma Shachas Varvas very easily. It's too small. What's the idea? Interestingly enough, you don't usually get an opportunity to see how the Rambam is Mepharish and Chazal. But over here you do. Over here you do. If you take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, again, Perek Zayin Halacha Tezvav, the Rambam, you see, incorporates this idea in the Halacha. You see what he says? He says like this. He says that he says Omeachar Shinikones. After he gives the exemption, Shein believer Terech Lama Bekishre Mochama, psychologically unfit. Omeachar Shinikones Bekishre Hamochama. But if the individual is fit, he is capable, and he makes the decision that he's going to enter the battle, Yishan al Mikve Yisrael Umoshio Be'es Tzara. Okay, the Yeda She'al Yichud Hashem Uosa Mochama. Now, what is the nature of this mochama? What is the underlying purpose of this mochama? Is liyached Hashem, to bring the idea of yichud Hashem to the world. I believe he mentions it again later. He says, just give me a second. V'chol anilcham b'chol libo b'lo pachad, v'tiye kavanoso l'kadesh es Hashem b'vad. That's his only purpose. L'kadesh es Hashem. It means that this battle is a different kind of a battle. This battle is not a battle in order to increase your might and your power and your wealth and the conquest. That's not the purpose of this battle. This battle, the battle of Klal Yisrael, only has one purpose, and that's Yichud Hashem, to teach the world the idea of Yichud Hashem. It's interesting. You see, That's how the Rambam learned the Chazal, really. You see, where the Rambam get that from? That's the Chazal. That V'omar Leim Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael is a reference to Kriyashma. Filo Eim Bechem Zchus El Kriyashma Bovad. Means to say, as long the over here, what matters is not the individual, even if the individual is a, even if the individual is a Baal Avera. This is the Rambam learns like Rabbi Akiva. Even if the individual is a Baal Avera, doesn't matter. All he needs is one thing, to know that he's entering in this battle for one purpose, L'kadesh es Hashem. If that is his purpose, if that what he, then he will be menatzeach. He'll be victorious. That's the Lashon Rama. He says, He says, V'chol anilcham b'chol libo b'lo pachad v'tiyeh kavanos l'kadosh es Hashem b'vad muvtach lo shelo yimtzo nezek shelo yimotzei nezek v'lo tagi'ehu ra. Ram says it doesn't depend on his chosen tzadik, rasha, doesn't say beinani, whatever he is, doesn't matter. All he needs is this one thing. That's where the Ram learned the Chazal, that he should be nilcham b'chol libo b'lo pachad. If he could do that, that's Shema Yisrael. If he has that chus, that's what Ram learns the Chazal. It doesn't mean if he only has one mitzvah of Krishna. What's Krishna's difference? He perfunctorily said Krishna Shachris V'Arvis. Okay, it's Mechavein, fine. But in order to be Yetzir the mitzvah, you know, every person needs to be Yetzir, every simple Jew to be Yetzir the mitzvah. You don't have to have. You don't have to be a Rambam to be Yetzir the mitzvah. Of course, every person, the higher the person, the higher he's Mekayim the mitzvah. But the basic mitzvah, every plain Jew can Mekayim this mitzvah. As long as he knows the Yisodi Adas, he knows the Gimel Karam. So he can be Mekayim the mitzvah. So what were Chazal saying? So the Rambam explains what Chazal said in a qualitative way. Beautiful interpretation. It means over here, and this is Rabbi Akiva, it doesn't depend upon whether he's a tzaddik or a rasha. It doesn't depend on that. It depends on one thing. What is kavana is b'shas mochama? That's all. If he has the correct kavana, l'kadesh es Hashem, then he has the guarantee. If he doesn't have that, then he doesn't have the guarantee. That's what the Rambam interprets. Beautiful interpretation. See where the Rambam took the Chazal and brought it into a qualitative sphere. It's not a question over here of Yom HaDin. Yom HaDin is a question when you shokun zechuyos of shel Adam. Does he have more mitzvahs than averus, or just the opposite, or is beinani shkulin? Those are all phenomena that take place with every individual once a year and at the end of his life. But that's a separate thing. That's really to where his chus In Chai Olam Abba, that's a different kind of a situation. That's Yom Adin. Or whether he should live for the next year. Is he an individual that, based upon his chuyos and his averos, does he merit to continue to have another year, another time where he can perfect himself, or is it all over? That's it. It's too late. He can't. There's no sense in him going any further. That's a different kind of a din. See, that din is dependent upon the individual status, because there it's a question of whether he's zochel chayelam abo or whether he's zochel to continue to live. That's a different kind of a thing. It provided, of course, I mean, there's still time allotted to him according to what his years are. Should he go on, or there's no sense in going on? That's a different kind of a mishpat. That's mishpat. Over here, the Rambam says that's what Chazal say. V'amalei Shema Yisrael is not mishpat. This guarantee is not based upon his status. The guarantee is based upon one thing. What is his kavana b'shas mochama? If it's l'kadosh es Hashem, yichur Hashem, then he has the guarantee. If not, doesn't have it. Okay. That's basically the story you're going to Ram. I just wanted to explain to go back now and just explain the question that we raised in the beginning, the question about Rabbi Yossi Aglili. We asked the question, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, why did Rabbi Yossi Aglili change? Why didn't he agree with Rabbi Akiva on the other three? I mean, he learns differently. See, Rabbi Yossi Aglili learns a different shot. Basically, he says Chozem Averish Biyado. Apparently, Rabbi Yossi Aglili disagrees. He held it depends on the on his status, on his relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, if he has Averish which makes him feel that he's Meruchot Mei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then he doesn't have the guarantee. Rabbi Yossi Aglili learned differently. He learned differently than Rabbi Akiva. That's Machlekes really. So, but according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, why was it necessary for him to argue with Rabbi Akiva on the first three, you see. Let him take the first three exemptions, and then there's a fourth one. The fourth one is a verish of the other. But the answer is like this. You see, when you learn a parsha, you have to use the proper methodology in understanding the parsha. A parsha has to fit in. You can't have an halacha and Torah. You can't have something that things that are incommensurate, that don't fit in, there's a harmony to the mitzvahs. And the Torah demands, when you understand the Torah, you see that things aren't just arbitrary. I mean, there's a system over here. See, so according, there are two ways to learn the parsha. These four exemptions could be learned in two ways. According to, it could be either learned that they're psychological exemptions. You see, that's Rabbi Akiva. He says, that's it. Ain't HaKadosh Baruch Hu between him and Yisrael. Certain people can't do it. He can't control himself. He has an exemption. And again, I mean, there's no machlekes. Even according to Rabbi Akiva, if a person can't fight, of course you don't put him in battle. He can't. He's honest. I want a patriot. He can't do it. But he's psychologically unfit. But that's not the question here. The question here is the halachic right to go back. That's something different than being unfit to go to battle. The halachic right. So Rabbi Akiva holds that this is simply a matter of the Torah giving an exemption because the Torah recognizes that the individual just can't handle the situation. So therefore, if he's Yori and Rachalevov, so that's it. He has a halachic exemption. So according to the Akiva, all the four are commensurate. They fit in because they're all of the same type. They're all of the same nature, you see. They have to do with psychological states of mind, situations that are psychological. And you see, what does the Pasuk say? It means this is his concern. I mean, it bothers the person. So let him go back. He's putter. He can't ask him at this time to engage in warfare. The situation is an exemption. But according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, you see that Miyoshayor of Rachalevov, the parsha takes on a whole different surah. You see, And that is that the Isha Yor Racha Levav is Me'avera Shebiyodo, which means that the last one is the exemption is based upon the beginning of the parsha. Al Yerach Levavchem, Al Tir Val Tachbus Val Tachim of Me'am. Okay, he can't participate in this. So according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, the exemption goes to the heart of the Musa, the last exemption. So you can't have on a par four exemptions that have no, the first three have no sheikhs to the last one. There's no harmony in the myth. It can't be. You can't have a parsha like that. The four have to be commensurate. So therefore, once Rabbi Yosi Aglili took the last one and he changed it into a qualitatively different type of exemption, so what that is saying is that there's only one exemption. The ipso facto, it's saying the only exemption is that he can't accept the divrei musa. The harmony of the parsha is that the exemption is commensurate with the divrei musa. According to the Kiva, it's not. It's simply four states of mind, four psychological situations, situational, psychological. That's the nature of the exemption. So the four are harmonious. But according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, you can't have any harmony between three, the first three being situational exemptions, and the last one, which goes to the very core of the divrei musar. They're not commensurate. It's not possible. So that's why Rabbi Yosi Aglili was forced to say, because the parsha has to have a harmony. The mitzvahs have to be harmonious. You can't just have mitzvahs that are incommensurate with each other. That doesn't make any sense. So therefore, once Rabbi Yosi Aglili interpreted the last one as meaning the exemption is essential to the divrei musar, so you can't have three other exemptions that have no shaykhs. I mean, how can you classify them as four? They have no shaykhs to each other. So therefore, Rabbi Yosi Aglili learned that the first three can't be. There is no. He disagrees with Rabbi Akiva in the interpretation of the parsha, and that's the machlokes. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's simply Midas HaRachman, that Midas HaRachman demands that there are four psychological cases, situational cases, where you can't demand of a person that he goes to war. So that's that's according to Rabbi Akiva. But according to Rabbi Aglili, the parsha, once you have the last one stating that the exemption is at the heart and the core of the whole divrei musar, so now you can't have three others, and then it wouldn't be four. You can't classify them as going to be, they have no shaykhs to each other. But you see, the Torah lists them as four. So therefore, he says the first three you must reinterpret, that they're only there in order to cover. You don't want to be mevayesh the one that is a balavera. That's why you have the other three. Of course, the question, of course, so that explains really basically why he has to disagree with Rabbi Akiva on all counts, not just on the last one. But the question, of course, remains, why those three? Why did the Torah choose those three? So, you could say, well, in economics, like the Rambam says that, that you can't always ask such a question, because say, if why is a Shiva question, so if it'll be six, they ask why six. It had to be a certain number. But I think over here there is an answer beyond that. It's not simply arbitrary. But really, the cases that the Torah chose are really depict the way of thinking of the Baal Avera, the method, the approach of the Baal Avera. It's in line with that, with his thinking. Because the difference between the Baal Avera and the person that is a tzaddik, that is not a Baal Avera, is not just in the sum total of Averis and Mitzvah, but it's a whole different way of thinking. You see, and that really is mentioned by the term that's commonly misused today, unfortunately, but the term that in Eov, the Chelek Elokami Ma'al, the Nachlas Shakaimim Roman. Chelek Elokami Ma'al means that every person has to recognize, and that's what Eve was saying, that he doesn't care about anybody else, but he has his Chelek that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him Ma'al. That is what he's concerned with. He's not concerned in contrasting his situation with anybody else's. It's simply his. He wants to understand his. So that's really the derech of the chacham. The derech of the individual who really lives according to the Torah. He has his chelek. The other person has no shechet. But the person that's a bala vela, his whole thinking is different. So really, what is his thinking? His thinking is in terms of the personal. And what is the greatest fear? The greatest fear is that I should do something and work for something, and somebody else should garshen it. You see? Because that is the individual that lives in the world of the competitive, in the competitive world. Not in the world of the chelik elakami mal, nachla shakai memromim, where he's only concerned with his chelik that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. So that's why these three are three elements, three incidents, where this idea, the idea of the person that's distorted, appears. You see, and that's why the pasuk says, "Mi yosh shabana bayis chadash lachanacha yelach v'yashiv leveso ten yomas b'malchama." And what is the quencher? The ish acher yachnachana. Mi yosh not takem lachilo yelach ten yomas b'malchama yomas b'malchama. Okay, the ish acher yachalana. And the same thing is eras ish v'lo lekocha yelach ten yomas b'malchama and the ish acher yachana. That's what disturbs him. So according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, the Torah took these three exemptions because these three are in line with the thinking of the Balaver. And these are the incidents which a person are most significant. Of course, a person doesn't like to do anything that he puts in the work and somebody else reaps the benefit. But these are three major things. I mean, is kerem, I mean, which is economically what he owns, and ishan bias. I mean, that's not the kerem is his business. Like the Rambam says, there's a certain order. This is the order of the person that the order of the person that follows chachma. But these are three major elements in a person's life. So according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, it wasn't just arbitrary, but it was chosen because it reflects the way of thinking of the one that's chozer. But at the same time, it covers, so it reflects the idea, but it also covers, in practicality, it covers the bala avera so that he should not be embarrassed in front of the entire Am and be destroyed for life because he's chozer merachah mochama. Okay, we'll stop there, buddy.
Ready?
Yeah.
Question.
Yeah. Apparently, it requires. The only thing I said is apparently it requires a specific meshicha, specific for this purpose. That the focus should be on these divrei musar mipi agvura, and avoda is a different kind of a realm. That's the most I could say at this point. I can't go beyond that. But you see, apparently, if he was a kind God, what has to do with Avodah, that is confusing. That's not really, has nothing to do with this. This is specific, then it would lack in its specificity, you see. It would be, it's not because it's over Avodah. That's not the reason. The reason is because right now you need instruction, Piagvura. So it requires a specific appointment. I see the Rambam is interesting. Rambam's lashon is that he says echad mochemes mitzvah ve'echad mochemes harashus. I should have mentioned this before. Memanin kohen ledaber la'om b'shas mochama. See, memanin kohen. He must be a kohen. Why it must be? He says sheyivchar Hashem u'akarish. Moshchenaso b'shemen amishcha v'zehu nikra mashuach mochama. See, it's specific. That's what I believe the answer is. But beyond that, I can't say. But it seems to me that that's enough. If you understand what I mean. But I wouldn't go beyond. That's what it seems. It must be specific to this purpose, and it has nothing to do with Avodah. Avodah would be confusing. Not because Avodah is Yom Kippur. It's not Shechet. This is specific to this. And the Rambam's lashon is very exact. Fits in very well with what we said before. Neman and Kohen. The main word there is kain. It must be a kain. Why? Because it must be a sheyivchad Hashem, because that reflects its mipi agvura. Because you had to have the... Now you have to look into halachas over there. Look into the Gemara, the Chazal. That he would say it first, and then they would repeat it because of the system. But basically, it's the Mashiach Muhammad.
Mm.
So I'll explain it. Okay. Oh. The Ramban. It's interesting, the Ramban. Two things that the Ramban says I think are very significant to mention here. First of all, what we're talking about, the Avtochas Hashem. So the Ramban says that the Avtocha is that they won't lose a single person. So the Ramban says that their bitachon, the idea of bitachon, that they must have the security, cannot be in themselves, but the security can only be in the idea that God is the one that is Lashem HaYeshua. Okay, so he says, amazing. So it could mean they're going to be victorious. But it's not just that they're going to be victorious, but they won't lose anybody. And he said, Valkain Sark Yoshua bin Fal Mehem Ba'ai Kishloshim Vishisha Ish. That's why Yoshua was stoic. He cried out, Kiba Mohemes Mitzvah Shalom Lohoya Roy Shiipo Misaras Roshim Artsaki Lara Shema Mohammed. The Ramban says, it means it's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. The Rambam also. But what I wanted to mention, essentially wanted to add, is after. The Yosfar Shaykhun Daba La'am, and then it says, after that, after the Dibur of the Mashuach Mohammed, the Shotrim, it says, Lahoya Kachalos Hashotrim Daba La'am. So what is that? Why is that part of the parsha? So the Ramban says, "To the tzivo, fuck du sorry tzvos barosh am, ki atarat tzava kederach ha'oretz, v'te'osa hanisim emireos behester, v'eina chayfes lefonov l'shanos tivo shalom." Ramban says. That's amazing, a beautiful Ramban. The Ramban, it's the Pesukim that's beautiful. Ramban points it out that in the same parsha, right after that, the Torah says, "Vayekachalos Hashem Dabalom, ufak du sorit vos brashom." What is the smicha of parshas? What is the smicha of it? Why does it immediately say that afterwards? Because that's a part of the whole philosophy of Yahadus. The whole philosophy of Yahadus is incorporated here, namely. That the idea of the metaphysical, that the eyes of the people are on the metaphysical reality, but at the same time, that they make recourse to the laws of nature. The combination. That combination is Yahadus. That the bitachon is in the metaphysical, but there's never a reliance on the metaphysical alone. It must In this existence, we have to make recourse to the natural law. Ufaktu soritzvos baroshav, and then the metaphysical will take place, but it only takes place behesta. And here Ramban says something which I believe I gave a shiur on. In the end, he says the eina chayfes lefanav l'shanos tivo shalom. Zulasi kasher ein sham derech batzola acheres. It means sometimes it's impossible otherwise. Olo diashmo letzorav leitim. Sometimes, occasionally, Hakadosh Baruch Hu does an ace, which is chutz mi derech ateva. Kasher hoya bekriyas yamsef akeya ateva. So occasionally, but in general, the Torah does not tell us, or does not give us any kind of assurance, nor does it advocate any kind of system that relies on the metaphysical. But one must make full recourse to the laws of nature, the natural law. Sounds beautiful and bonding. He pulls right out of the parsha. You see, it's in there. Once you see it, but you see, the Ramban says that only occasionally Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's according to according only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that when that decision. That's only according to his to Chachmas Hashem. But and that's really the pshat. I believe we mentioned it in Pinchas. Hinini Yosin Lo is Brisi Shalom. What does it mean, Brisi Shalom? So Rashi says, Brisi Shalom means a greeting. Hinini Yosin Lo is Brisi Shalom. What is the greeting? So Rashi says that it's the Tela Lebrishon Keodam Amachzik Tova VeChenus LeMisha Osa Imo Tova Afkan Pirush Lo Kadosh Baruch Shalom Osa. So he gave him his bris shalom means he gave him he was as if like someone's machzik tova to someone that does a favor for him. So what does it mean? How could a human being do a favor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need anybody. But the answer is what the Ramban says over here, namely that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes chutz l'teva, but not all the time. So only in certain very specific instances, which only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows when, but generally not. So over there in that case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot destroy every Russia. So by Zimri, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not destroy him. And therefore, if it weren't for Pinchas, so Klal Yisrael would have been destroyed. In that sense, it means that he assisted HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In that sense, meaning because there was nothing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do against Zimri, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not destroy every Russia that stands up against him. So the only one that could have done it was Pinchas, and he took the opportunity. And he saved Klal Yisrael, Alo Chilisias Bnei Yisrael B'Kinasi. They would have been destroyed. So that's the idea of Machzik Tova. Same idea that Ramban says over here. Okay, I just wanted to add that. Okay, so now let's go back to the...
We're switching the tape.